the Shutdown Full Cast. Why'd I go so hard on that? That's because it's week zero, y'all. It's week zero.
Server, you still want me to turn him up?
Yes. Turn my headphones up.
All right.
You absolutely need to, because this is week zero. Y'all need to get excited because we have actual football. What kind of football? Incredible football. I'm so glad you asked. So glad you asked. Incredible football. Actual football. Did you want to start your college football season with something like, I don't know, Duquesne at Florida State? I know I did. I wanted more basketball in my football. That's why we got Duquesne involved, all right? Did you want to start with Nevada at New Mexico State? That's correct, ore miners of the great American Mountain West. You did want to start that. I'm actually working myself into a shoot here. I'm excited.
He's lathery.
I'm a little lathery. Joining me, as always, on the internet's only college football podcast, we have Ryan Nanny live from Nashville, Tennessee.
Did you get your biscuit this morning, Ryan?
No.
Christ,
no?
We don't eat biscuits for every breakfast.
You don't? You don't? No. Did you take your kids to school on a pedal tavern?
Yes.
Don't make it sound cool.
That I did do.
That actually does sound pretty
green.
Cool. Yep. just handing out margaritas to your fellow parents at 7 a.m. Here you go. Also joining us is Jason Kirk. Jason, how we doing?
Now, Spencer, you mentioned during that intro that you went particularly hard on that one. Are there times when you're just sort of like not really feeling it when you do the welcome? Or are there times when you really have to strain and effort through the process?
Yeah. Usually if I have a bad hangover, it's a little harder. Sometimes it gets good to me about halfway through. Sometimes I gotta admit, I lose steam if my conditioning's not up to snuff, which is more often than not. You know, around the middle, I really start to struggle.
Listener, I'd like to let you know that we record this show at noon on Tuesday. So I want you to imagine the scenario where Spencer has a bad hangover at noon on Tuesday.
Just like Sheryl Crow.
You're the one handing out margs at 7 a.m.
That's because they have vitamin C.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm going to stop this right now. I don't think you should be allowed to play the Switch during the show.
I'm fine.
I think it's just me.
No, I'm good.
Okay, this isn't going to go well.
It's going to be fine. And if it's not, check
Spencer
in 10 minutes.
Spencer is playing Animal Crossing at noon on a Tuesday.
Which is brainless.
Okay.
I
think you need another distraction. You're right.
It's true.
So the other interesting time slot in which we have recorded this show that I think we've done a lot more than noon on a Tuesday is like 10 o'clock on a Monday night. Were there ever any 10 o'clock Monday night hangovers for you?
No, usually, no, that's in full swing, usually,
that's the
case.
That's a pretty stiff hangover.
Well, I know that many of, that you'll understand. Ryan still has a job, right, where you have to work on normal human hours. Holly, Jason, and I, we have been freed from the conventions of showing up to the standard office schedule virtually or in real life. Is that a fair way of saying it, Jason?
Yeah, events just sort of happen, and there's no real grid to slot those events into in my daily life. Young people are going to school now. That's crazy. I guess I'll be aware of that.
No, have fun.
I don't know if you had a period in your life where you waited tables or you worked something where you had to work a lot of weekends or nights, but there are moments where you are at the grocery store at Wednesday at 11 a.m. and looking around going, oh, that's crazy. Look at all these people cosplaying like this is real life. That's nuts.
This is
why the moms.
You all need the big moon from Majora's Mask so you can just be like, oh, shit, it's so big. Day must be close to done.
Holy shit, it's day three.
That ain't good. Crime is legal.
The first person to look up and see Majora's Mask moon was very close must have thought, well, that ain't good.
Oh, shit, I haven't gone to the grocery store yet.
See,
guess I'll try again in the next 3 days.
See, this is why
reminds me, we're out of cheese.
Everybody needs to go read Ross Dellinger's story and SI about Daniel Holgerson because, and this isn't the most recent one, it's the one where he is in the off season, and it's firmly off season Daniel Holgerson. And if you wonder, man, What on earth could Dana Holgerson's day be like normally when there's no practice, no nothing? And the answer is sheer fucking chaos. It's exactly what you think it would be. It's like if you just let an 11-year-old plan his schedule, because he's supposed to throw out the first pitch at an Astros game, and the entire plot of the piece is that Dana is not making it. Dana's just not making it. And he eventually shows up with no panic. Everyone else is like the Astros are like, oh, we're going to cancel. This is we're all panicking. This is unreal. No, Dana breezes in right on time. They throw a jacket on him as he's walking in, nails the first pitch, and is like, all right, let's go. That's...
No, the punchline is like, on the way out, he claps his handler on the shoulder and is like, I don't know why you were so worried.
I think my favorite part is how he seems to have it in his head that first pitch is synonymous with the game's first pitch. Our game doesn't start till 8. And it's like, no, you're not literally throwing the first pitch of the game. You need to be there before 8. And it turns out who was right was Dana Holgo's internal clock was right.
That should be how it works, though. Like, enough of this ceremonial first pitch thing.
If
you're
going
to do it, it should be the first. And it can just be the one. They don't have to stay out there for a batter.
50 cents sideways first pitch. Sorry, but that counts against the Mets.
That's right.
Ball.
It's a 1-0 count now. Get out there, starter.
Where they're encouraging you to throw a ball so you don't give up a homer on the first pitch, right?
But also, imagine how demoralizing it would be if you went out there and you're like, all right, for the first pitch, here's fucking Jason Alexander, and he whiffs you.
Why did you pick George?
Because it's hilarious if Jason Alexander throws the first pitch and it's a strike on the corner, and you're like, oh my God, fuck.
And the manager's like, hang on now. Let's... I want to see where this goes. Let's leave him in for another.
He's got some left in the tank.
George is fucking mowing him down.
The catcher
three
very,
scoreless innings.
The catcher very cautiously starts putting in signals like, two? Do you
he
have a two?
He's shaking him off anyway. No, you know, I don't know what that is, but you know what's coming. It's the fucking heater. Buckle
Summer
up.
Summer George!
We just clocked him at 53.
The greatest George in baseball New York has ever seen.
It just so happens that Kelly Ripa throws a natural knuckleball. It's insane. She's the Mets number 3 now.
But when it leaves her hand, it looks exactly like her changeup. Nobody knows what's doing it.
It's crazy.
You know, this also makes the selection of the celebrity process even more exciting and maybe a little fraught with danger, because are you going to get the celeb who's going to, I mean, once they're, you can agree whatever you want to in the moment, but once they get out there on the mound, is Colin Cowherd going to throw a ball because you told him to?
He might.
Oh,
not.
Yeah, they're going to go rogue. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do their own research once they get up there.
Like, you need the notion of picking a celeb who is beloved enough to not draw cascades of boos as they walk to the plate, but also biddable enough to not completely fuck up your first inning. Ma'am,
can you go with somebody so beloved that the away team's leadoff hitter is like, I can't fucking...
No.
There's like, only one Dolly Parton is the problem.
That was my first thought.
I'm not going to humiliate Martha Stewart like that.
I'm taking her deep. I'm sorry. I'm going yard. I'm going yard on Martha if I have the ability. And you know what?
I heard that about you.
I know that in the middle of the night, one night on a country back road, I'm going to press the brakes and they're not going to work because somebody cut the cables. And all of a sudden, I'll get a text from Martha Stewart that's like, remember? And when I hit the tree, I'll know who did it because she's going to take me out every single time. I have another baseball theory, by the way.
Oh, thank God.
I will lose.
Baseball podcast. It's the Shutdown Podcast, the baseball show.
So it's even funnier considering what our plan for today's episode was.
So Dwight Smith was an outfielder for the Chicago Cubs. Recently passed away, by the way. Nice dude. And he used to do something when they could not find anyone to sing the national anthem. Dwight would sing it. And Dwight had a lovely singing voice. I think this should be the case for every single sporting event in the United States. I think somebody on the roster or coaching
staff.
This
is on the line with our people who have to kick the field goals.
That's right. Yeah. Somebody you should have to, you can't outsource it. You have to have somebody on the team or on the coaching staff who can sing.
Finally, the return of the true triple threat.
Make the owner waddle his ass out there.
It has to be the owner or a blood relation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, make the owner do some fucking work for once in his life.
Get Spurrier out there for Florida. All right, well. Dana. Dana'd be good too, right? Just want the Tom Waits sings the national anthem. That's what Dana Holgorsen.
Oh my God, Clark Hunt's Nessun Dorma just came out and sang Nessun Dorma. The whole stadium was in tears.
Crying.
Yeah, Dana sang it, but every lyric was bombs bursting in air just the whole time.
Bombs bursting in air. Bombs bursting in air. Bombs bursting in air.
I'm weeping in the press box. This is the most beautiful thing I've ever heard.
It turns out this song fucking rocks.
I'm only doing the parts that
I RPO'd it. I crossed out a few of the lyrics I don't understand. This song's much less boring now.
Why do you sing the song that way? The play kept working, so it just kept calling it. That's why.
Call it till they stop it. That's what I always say.
Look at it. Everyone's clapping. Yes, you're being arrested, sir. Whatever gets them going.
You can't be arrested in Texas for fucking up the Star Spangled Banner.
For making the Star Spangled Banner more violent. You are now governor.
It's not the choo-choo song.
It's the choo-choo song.
So is this a trade? Is this we have musicians do the opening kickoff and coaches sing the anthem?
Yeah.
Mm.
I like this.
Martina McBride's kicking the opening kick.
Okay, Martina McBride charted in 2006 in Nashville with a song that made fun of the ladies' aid. I think she might have this.
You know who else has it?
Sorry, I didn't expect to come in guns fucking blazing with my Martina McBride knowledge.
I think any country singer who has a song about just murdering dudes, I'm going to give them a tryout at Kicker. I think.
She's kicked in a truck door before and left the dent. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. Although my lead pick, of course, is Carrie Underwood because both her feet weigh 40 pounds. She's got them heavy feet. If you watch her go, she's going to touch back every time.
That means she has to swing it above her waist first.
Yes, but
does she have the flexibility?
If she connects, though, it's over. I think she only needs 20 degrees flexion.
That sounds more like an offensive line to me if she's immobile.
Her feet would be slow.
She doesn't have to run up to the ball. She could just stand there and be like,
what?
If your vision of this person is one who is literally unable to move her feet, that sounds like the worst kicker possible.
Oh, no, she's become impossibly strong because most of us move the standard issue foot, right? Weight. She's been moving 40-pound feet, and she's still, it's still obviously heavy, but she's become superhumanly strong by having this condition. So I would argue she's probably going to be like Matt Araiza out there. It's going.
Why?
Yeah, but she also has no rhythm.
Can you explain this foot theory?
Yeah, why do you think Carrie Underwood's feet weigh 40 pounds apiece?
You're going to have to pull up a video of her dancing.
I will.
For this to
I'll
really
have
come
to pull
across.
Up a video of her dancing for you to really get this.
You could just say this is based on sight.
Carrie Underwood dances on stage like she's been prepped for death by a cartoon crime syndicate. Her feet are already in cinder blocks.
Because when anyone who has gotten a job and had to develop a new skill set will easily understand, Carrie Underwood became famous. And she became famous as, a belter. She would just stand there and go... And
that's not a true belt.
So she would just stand there and sing. That was her thing, right? And eventually they were like, Carrie, listen, we're going to teach you how to be a star. You have to move a little bit. Dancing's not her strong suit. But she developed kind of a stomp. And when I say stomp, it looks like she's cracking the pavement, okay? She has the heaviest feet I have ever seen in my life. If you like the original... Sunday night football song, right? Where she's like, I'm waiting for Sunday night. Like, if you look in that, it looks like she's doing a step class hard. It looks like she's the kind of person where they had to replace equipment, right? Because she was stomping so hard. She looks like an AC/DC fan, right? Stomping that hard. Lead boots on every step. So I think She's my pick because there's touchbacks every time. If she's been doing working with her 40-pound feet her whole life, touchback. Easy.
Hmm. Okay.
That's the Carrie Wood.
Aren't you glad you asked?
The Carrie Underwood heavy foot theorem. I know. You're all glad you asked.
A lot of lore went into that one.
That and being like, damn, girl's got some heavy feet. That's really what it comes down to. I bet she can't sneak up on anyone.
Now, is a singer's danceability therefore inherently opposed to their kicking power? Is that does this translate to people besides just her?
That's a good question, because she would be a stationary kicker, right? We would just have her place kicking. We wouldn't have her doing anything dynamic, super dynamic.
That's true.
Yeah, he was. Was this one of the larger kickers?
Yes.
Wisconsin went through.
However, we also had a Grammatica injured himself dancing. So
that says something about dance too, by the way. If you go through the injury history of dancers, they really do like either compare or greatly exceed football players, right? Because by the time they're 19, it's like, yeah, I've torn my ACL 27 times.
ACL, MCL, PCL, baby.
Yeah, they get like the Steve Entman was a landmark injury in that you would tear all three of the L's all at once in the knee. Nope. Dancers been doing that for years. You know,
so
it's like
the more fucked up your leg is, the better a kicker you'll be.
Exactly. Dancers at 19
right,
are like,
because it just it
done.
it hardens the scar tissue, hardens it into like an oaken club extending out from the hip,
like Groot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is our kicker, Groot. I did want to come back and say the long and short of this is, when you have a hangover on Monday night or Tuesday night, it means you work the weekend. It means you work the weekend, okay?
This is what I'm saying about Spencer's like attention span. Like, if we go off topic, the original topic never left.
Nope. It was here. I wanted to close that loop.
It's incredible.
It's like dune buggying on the moon. Those tracks are going to be there forever.
No. Just a divot. Right there, forever. I also did want to give our resident vomit expert, Ryan Nanny, an opportunity to talk about some important vomit news.
The vomit comment.
Congrats.
You
went to law school, pal.
I haven't been told that I'm the resident vomit expert.
Nope.
I haven't been prepped for this in any way, shape, or form.
No.
You
are. You
want me to
resident.
Talk about Scott Frost bragging about the pukes at
so,
practice?
Yes, we do.
The
Nebraska's
because
PPP.
You have the youngest child, so...
It's true.
You're closest to the danger. He is a bit of a spitter-upper, and I got to tell you, when you have a newborn, you're not thinking, "Oh man, he's really." You can tell he's working hard from all the puking he's doing. You can tell this baby's really getting after it.
This
wasn't well conditioned for football season.
This guy's
Are you singing a rejiggered Frozen song at this baby about vomit?
I'm not yet.
Oh, I thought you were going for Let It Go.
Oh.
This baby came into fall camp a little out of shape, to be honest. I don't know what it was doing
He's an early enrollee.
Yeah, early enrollee. Doesn't even know the playbook yet, right? Doesn't know the verbiage. And we're a little, you know, we have to do a little work with him, a little bit of conditioning work. Scott Frost, who, if you don't know, has his own day. It's today. So happy Scott Frost Day to all of you. According to the Omaha coverage of the story, Evan Bland was the original reporter. We like to go ahead and if there's important vomit news, we like to go ahead and give credit where credit is due. The first one to report that Scott Frost estimated there were 15 to 20 total vomits per practice from offensive linemen under new position coach Donovan Raiola. Quote, "It's not because they're not in shape. He's just working them hard." Normal sport. Normal thoughts.
I mean, maybe Nebraska's offensive linemen have learned to spontaneously puke as a means of intimidating an opponent. Maybe this is like a biological evolution defense tactic.
Are you saying it's a threat display?
I mean, yeah, like some animals do this, right? Like it's not
like
that
lizards,
different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that different from
they're
like
Dilophosauruses.
Yes. That's actually a great theory. How do we know that they're not? Practice is probably closed.
And now we know why.
And yeah. It's hard. It's hard with the helmet and the shoulder pads on. It's hard for your neck frill to extend.
We got these boys eating a Jurassic pork.
Just taking off my sunglasses and looking in awe from my Jeep as I rise at mm-hmm. the sight of the entire Nebraska O-line puking up actual tacks and nails. Right?
I mean,
they're down. They're down to the hardware, boys.
Slayers.
Yeah, tax.
Look, Jurassic Park is a movie about one delusional old man saying, "Well, it worked before, so it could work now." And if that ain't being a Nebraska fan in 2022, what is?
Hey, you know, the guys I have here, they ruled the world a number of years ago, and they can do it again.
God creates dinosaurs. God destroys dinosaurs. God creates Nebraska football. Nebraska football destroys God. Nebraska football creates dinosaurs, is what we're saying here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'd like to share with you that the fifth result on Google for this story is from Golf Digest. Golf Digest, important sports vomit expert.
Oh, please don't say digest.
Yep.
They could be thrown up because they ate golf balls.
Golf indigest. Golf Digest has really pivoted to like, they're just like SEO. Like, fuck golf. They're here for SEO.
Just
like, they cover
John,
everything. It's
just picture John Hammond gesturing to Scott Frost.
I appreciate them recognizing that we don't want to read about golf.
Yeah, this is where John Hammond shares his most problematic conspiracy theories. Because, you know, he worked in carnivals. I'm sure he had some outrageous, like...
Hey, whoa, wait. What did the smartest guy in that movie wear? Black shirt.
Wow.
You got to earn your Ian Malcolm.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Wish you could see the gesture I'm doing.
Nebraska football is very chaotic. One result does not influence the next.
Scott Frost, I refuse to believe you're unfamiliar with the concept of attraction. Actually, no, that's fine.
Hold on to your butts. No, we mean it. We have to play Northwestern in week zero.
That is
hold
one big pile
in
of
Ireland.
Shit.
Yeah. What I'm wondering though is Ryan, as our resident vomit expert and the one closest to this,
just continually branding him as such.
Yep. We're still. It's probably one of those. The more you hear it, the more sense it makes things.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
It is.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to know? Please ask me any question about puke.
I want to know, what is the consistency where it gets troubling? Like
the
at what
consistency
point?
Or the color?
You know what? We can go with both because they're both important elements. But you tell me. You tell me. You're the expert.
You're the expert.
All right, fine. Since I'm the expert, I'll just make some shit up. I think the more solids there are, the better off, because at least you're puking something up. It's when you start
puking. Like if you could puke up a canned cranberry jelly whole?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I think once you start running out of, once it starts to become more soup and less stew, you start to become worried, I think is my number one there.
Look, you asked for this.
I did.
What if they're solids you don't recognize?
That's fine. I think that's better because it's like, oh, that shouldn't have been it. That was in you, and it shouldn't be.
Oh,
and your body has recognized that.
Problem solved.
I think that's in some ways helpful where you're like, Duplo shouldn't be there.
And now it's not.
And now it's not. Okay. Exactly.
I didn't know there was a problem, but it's already solved.
Your body's like, what did you want from me?
Mm-hmm. I've been looking for my license. Wow, there it is.
Yeah, if you think of your body as like a vending machine that is like, that's not a dollar bill.
If I threw up a doubloon, that's when I really get trouble.
Sure.
Right?
This is a Krugerrand. Where did that come from?
So I think that's your consistency issue. As far as color, purple is probably where purple's just not a color you should be puking, unless of course you've like had a lot of purple Kool-Aid or something like if you can't have an explicable purple.
Yeah.
Purple is a worrisome sign. That Words feels to me by. Like something has ruptured.
If we've gone ecto cooler shade, that's when I'm really worried. If we
as long
into...
as you can explain the color, I think inexplicable is the key word.
Yeah.
Because like perhaps you've drank a lot of ecto cooler. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't have.
Who hasn't?
Sure, are we supposed to believe that that was Slimer's body?
Well, see,
in as, Slimer's wait, milk? As opposed to what?
Slimer's milk.
Oh, God.
You can would it just be... say,
why am I getting flack when you're the one who just used the phrase
all right.
Slimer's
all right.
milk?
No, I'll do it. I don't like the word, but I'll do it. I'll plug my own ears and I'll do it. This implies the existence of Slimer teeth. Where are they?
Everywhere. Everywhere.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Like his pores are each...
You just squeeze
are each extruded... Oh,
it's,
man.
Like it's all the way down.
No, he's omni-milkable. Wait, just is get, that them... what do you do with cane toads?
Yeah, cane toads have a venom that you compress out of them. Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at art of this character, and yeah, liquid is just seeping off.
Okay,
of
how does this explain
all I'm saying
the
is
body?
Ecto Cooler is green in color, Slimer is green, and is on the box. There has to be, like, what is the connective tissue here?
I mean,
what is
what
the
do you
chain
put on
of events?
On a milk carton, they put a cow.
That's right.
So.
I was going to say that Ecto Cooler is the blood of our savior Slimer. Okay?
So they're killing they kill
right.
Slimers?
The body being grasshopper.
Maybe it's
cookies.
More of a like transubstantiation kind of thing.
Yeah, it's in the church of Ghostbusters, this is canon.
Yeah,
so this episode of the Shutdown Fullcast is brought to you by American Dairy Council.
So this means there are some denominations where when you drink the Ecto Cooler, you have it's ingested Slimer.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like literally.
The wine that they put in to the IC box.
Bread yeah. You actually can't spell Episcopalianism
bread
without
of my,
slime.
Bread of my big squishy body.
Yeah.
He broke the hot dog, passed it to his disciples,
and said, "This is mostly lips and assholes. Eat of it."
This was
Slimer passed over a dripping handful of himself and said, "This is literally my body."
Right.
I love this. No, this is canon. This is the actual laws of the Church of Ghostbusters.
Wait. How many Gospels are there in the New Testament?
Well, however many exclude women.
How many Ghostbusters?
Oh,
are there?
We're already there.
That's right.
You know, it's just that the original disciples were such a big part of my childhood. It's not that I hate women.
Sure.
Right.
I was going to say, by the way, this is something Dan Aykroyd probably actually believes, right?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, yeah. He's like, yeah, this was meant to be a church. Right? And Slimer is our Jesus. Slimer is our Jesus figure.
Let's right? just say Holy Ghostbusters. I want to note Dominic Raiola, the offensive line coach who has allegedly been producing 15 to 20 PPPs pukes per practice for the Huskers.
That's a great advanced stat.
SP plus is shit puke plus.
PP
yeah,
plus.
Plus.
Puke plus.
Slimer puke plus.
Yeah.
So here are the last, let's see, five teams for which he has coached at either the FBS or NFL level. 2016 Notre Dame, which went 4-8.
Mm-hmm.
And then 4 years with the Chicago Bears.
Are they good?
And now Nebraska Cornhuskers. That is six
Chicago
straight
Bears?
That is six straight puke worthy offenses in my opinion. This man has seen some shit. So if I want to bring in a guy to make football players throw up, it's someone who has been around a lot of throw-up-worthy offense.
Do you think he's just making them watch Mitch Trubisky tape? Is that all that's happening?
Yeah, they're not actually working.
Brother, I don't know if you saw Mitch Trubisky's trademark play this week.
Please, it's Mitchell!
Spencer, let me assure you, I'm not watching Steelers preseason games.
Neither am I.
No.
Neither am I.
Yeah,
oh,
well,
buddy,
you're the one
hold
who knew
that thought exactly
on.
1 week.
I did catch a clip of it on Twitter, and let me tell you, evading three sacks, with actual athleticism, but also somebody...
We've all been there, right, ladies?
Yeah, but also somebody who's wow, god damn.
Keep going.
So avoiding three sacks and then sprinting left to make a play where you throw the ball directly into double coverage where it is contested and then picked. Yeah, that was Mitch Trubisky's play.
The Trubisky.
Yeah. I've been wrong about many quarterbacks. Hi, Josh Allen. I think we were all right with
Jason
Mitch Trubisky.
Was right. Jason was right.
I was very right.
Jason was right about Josh Allen. Don't forget.
You were right. Must credit Jason.
Future NFL Hall of Famer, no doubt about it. That's what I said throughout.
Stop his approaching
throughout
us
his
church.
College career. As soon as I saw him complete like 9% of his passes against Iowa, I said, "Stamp it."
Well, you don't play Iowa once you get to the NFL. So.
Yeah, so problem solved.
Smart guy.
Yeah. So there's no Mountain West defenses in the NFL.
Just puking up all those.
Except for like the Cardinals.
The Broncos.
Probably.
Just puking up all those incompletions in college. Getting them out of the way.
He got them out of the system. That's why they call him a system quarterback. It means he still has interceptions inside him.
What Josh Allen, if you told me Josh Allen was Slimer's human form, I would buy it. He kind of looks Slimer-ish.
He's very solid.
Is he frozen?
But he does look like Slimer? If you poked his finger, it could just keep going.
Right. And also, I would if you told me I saw Josh Allen in the hallway eating a bunch of room service as fast as he could, I'd be like, yeah, it's Josh Allen's a fun dude.
Takes three men to take him down. Mm-hmm. That's a very, yeah, Slimer mm-hmm. and Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am really curious to know the medical. If I ask Scott Frost, okay, who I would love to just get a tour through Scott Frost's brain. It has to be amazing in there, right?
Oh, God.
Yeah, because he looks like a dude who's watched the Wolverine scenes in Red Dawn only. Like, he's like, I can't watch the scenes where the commies are doing well. I got to fast forward through all that, right? Even though the slick-ass Cuban guy is, like, so cool in that movie.
Oh, he's the Generalissimo?
Yeah, Generalissimo. Yeah, like, yeah, he's swanky as hell, man. You're like, ah, man. Again, the 80s backfired because you're like, ah, communists are the enemy. And they're really cool.
So Scott Frost looks like a guy who watches that Wolverine, but for the last couple of years, he has felt like Wolverine in Old Man Logan.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just driving a limo, kicking ass for money.
I'm just so eager to die.
So eager. God, just kill me. But I really want to know medically what he thinks is happening when a person vomits. Like, does Scott Frost really, is he like, that is weakness leading
those
the body.
Those are demons.
Yeah, those are demons. Yeah.
That's bad footballness.
His tank is too full. We put too much Gatorade in him, and that's why it's all coming out. It's like an engine.
I wonder, so like, obviously, this is some sort of hyperbole, which raises the question of why he thinks this is cool and good, which the answer is he's a football person, so he thinks terrible things are cool and good. But, like, this means,
Ryan,
like...
it sounds like he's puking.
He saw two guys throw up, and he decided, boy, I need the fans on my side. I'm going to tell them 20 guys threw up.
He has said... He has, quote-unquote, walked back these comments, sort of... where he said, I was trying to portray how hard the O-line had been working and how proud of them I am. Which the first part I kind of understand. Like, it is very old football brain to be like, yes, you're working hard and therefore you puked. It's very weird to be like, yes, you puked and I'm proud of you? That's a very strange, like, we need to unpack that a little more in therapy, guys.
It's also a super interesting choice for a guy who is so tetchy with the media to lay one out over the plate that invites at the very least the question, hey, Scott, why wasn't your O-line working hard any of the past years that you've been there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many mm-hmm. times did those guys puke? Well, they must not be working very hard.
Yeah.
Imagine if we treated poop this way. If a football coach was like, my guys are shitting their brains out. I love them so much. They're shitting and farting.
They're
shitting like awesome. Minks.
Every time I walk in, the sound hits you before the smell, at least.
Are you telling me Pete Carroll has never congratulated a player for like a particularly choice turd?
That's a smooth exit there.
I think he's so competitive that he's going to try and outdo it, right? And he's going to hurt himself because he's not that big. You know,
I know. Sure. I know a coach who's done it. Jim Tom Sula.
Oh, he's one of the boys. He's in there. He's in the middle.
He's got a group text that's nothing but poop photos. No words.
It's like that's a great.
That's a good one, Ray.
I feel like we're at most a month away from this happening on Hand in the Dirt in some form.
I appreciate your turd and I support your turd, but I'm gonna beat it.
Also, look.
Or are because they being I'm, super supportive there?
Because I am the resident vomit expert, apparently, I will tell you, again, when you have a newborn, yeah, you are actually pretty, like, poop positive. When your kid mm-hmm. takes a good, like, has a real solid poop, you're like, love to see it.
Yeah, my kid really couldn't poop for, like, her first 10 hours or so, and it was, like, a yeah. big deal. Like, they
yeah,
were
stressful.
Like, they
yeah.
were, like, ferrying her in and out of the room, trying to, I don't know, squeeze it out of her, and, like, when it finally happened, it was like, this rules, you are now ready to defeat Northwestern in Ireland.
That's right.
See, and I'm like, not a parent, but I feel like I would appreciate anything that comes out of a child that I don't have to pick up with a sponge.
I would also, every time a player, like, goes down with a quote-unquote fake injury, if I knew that they were just like, oh, I just haven't pooped in, like, a day and a half, I'd be like, yeah, I buy that. I 100% buy that. Get somebody out there and bicycle his legs. Get things moving.
Release the hostage.
Get the Q-tip in there. Just a little stimulation.
Being a parent is awesome.
We're going to commercial, folks.
Sad
Fox.
Slow.
We're going to commercial, but full coverage is available on ESPN Plus.
I think I just saw
Tim Burton getting the live feed. I have important footage.
It's summer. Major League Baseball's in full swing, and there's one app for you if you want last-minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now, and I'm picking out America's team, really, the Kansas City Royals. And at Kauffman Stadium, just in a couple days, there's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but it was awesome nonetheless. And GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little bit called The Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right, even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute because GameTime.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
I'm glad you brought up the Northwestern Nebraska game in Ireland, though, Jason, because I would like
whose curtain
no
matches the drapes after the break.
Speaking of shitting your brains out,
I would like to extend to you all a delightful thought experiment.
Okay. Wash your hands first.
So we've been playing, we haven't been doing it, but college football has been played in Ireland since, I think, the late 1980s is when they started doing this. And I want you to imagine the, let's say, 50-year-old Irishman who goes to all these games, loves it whenever college football comes to Ireland, mm-hmm. has attended all of them, but at the same time, doesn't use the internet, doesn't care for it, doesn't follow college football beyond the games that are in Ireland, and it has no general awareness other than these two teams are here this year. If this person, theoretical though they may be, were asked like who are the college football teams, this is the list they would give you: Boston College, the United States Army, Pitt, Rutgers, Notre Dame, the United States Navy, Penn State, UCF, Georgia Tech, Northwestern, and Nebraska after this year, and maybe Illinois, because they were supposed to play last year but they moved that one back to the US.
Illinois, but we can't prove it.
What kind of conference is this that our fake Irish person believes is America's only college football conference?
It's not un-Big Easty.
Yeah.
I wonder. That's true.
Does our friend suspect that like UCF is a branch of the United States military.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're Space Force. They have like sure.
Because
God,
multiple...
why haven't they claimed that?
I'm sure they have.
That's why they're playing a game
in
space.
I think we've done it for them, come to think of it.
I mean, once you invent space, it's kind of a step down to invent Space Force.
This is the other thing about Irish fans is that they've gotten a lot of military, right? Like a lot of military teams.
Yes.
That's always the disturbing, like, well, the Army's, you know, Army's coming on the 19th of September. And you're like, what? You're like, oh, no, it's the Americans. It's cool.
Finally, back up.
Yeah.
And they probably got pretty fired up when Navy showed up because, like, historically, the British Navy has been Ireland's arch rival's greatest strength. So finally, even the odds a little bit.
I also like that this list is carefully curated to create the illusion that Notre Dame is the best and most important college football team. If this is the only window you have on the world, you're like, yes, Notre Dame is the best and the greatest of college football teams. And second is Penn State? Boston College. It's Boston College.
It is weird, though, that we're sending the Irish every now and then. That's weird. Like, can you imagine?
Oh, it feels very...
It's like sending a Taco Bell sponsored team to, like, El Salvador. Yes. And be like, we are like you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, no, it feels a little racist, but in the same way that you can't be racist to Italians, you can pretty much be racist to Irish people.
I think English people are the only people who can be racist against Irish people.
They can or they can't?
Can. Like, if an English person...
I mean, they definitely are.
If an English person says something offensive about Irish people, I'm like, hey, that's fucked up. Anyone else, we're all having fun here.
Right, okay. Gotcha.
But can you imagine if there was, like, a Serie A Italian team whose nickname was the Americans, and they came over to the United States.
That would rule.
It would. All right, you and I think it would rule. But the common crowd comes in and they're like, "This is our mascot, the American," and he's just this like fat moron with a gun.
Yes, that right? would rule. Tony like, Soprano.
Yeah, that's it.
Plushy Tony Soprano?
He's basically plushy Tony Soprano or Carl. He's Carl Bublinowski from Aqua Teen Hunger Force, right?
Why is any of this bad? This would ruin.
I am making a bet like an American. I am driving a two-story tall car
and
eating
a sandwich
like an American while texting on my phone. Like, I would think it was really cool. That's not an indication of anything good. I would be like, this is hilarious, but that's not good.
I think the larger problem is that we don't have more culturally specific college football teams to send to other countries. You know? Like, we don't
have... We have,
like
Northern Kentucky Norse we can send to Norway.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they can play the Minnesota Vikings there.
There's a few like Scots teams.
Yeah.
Dogs and so forth.
Yeah.
But
I would just if I was a college football team trying to like spruce things up a little bit, I'd be like, guess what? We're the Toreadors now because we want to play in Spain every 5 years if we can get away with it.
Spanish animal rights people have to absolutely hate Texas Tech. Just hate. They're like,
I kind of feel like they have a lot to deal with at home.
They do.
Without worrying about Lubbock.
Just a few things.
That's got to be his shittiest job.
So we wanted to have a word about bullfights. Bullfights!
Someone said bullfights.
We're suggesting that you not slaughter the animal in front of thousands of people. No!
At least in Spain, they let the animal get one back once in a while.
That's true.
But there's space for, like, I don't know, Stanford, if you want to be the Socceroos, great. Now you can go play in Australia every now and then. Doesn't that sound fun? Better than playing at Stanford.
They did that, right?
Yeah.
That was
I think they did.
Cal did.
If Cal did.
Oh, yeah, it was Cal and, like, Syracuse or something.
If Cal did it, Stanford won't now.
Yeah, ugh.
This is starting...
That's for poor.
This is just poor people. This is just...
the poor.
This is just all a way of starting my Danish football team, the Georgians, so that we could come to Atlanta.
and play as the Georgians, right? But look at that authentic look at that authentic golf shirt.
Why wouldn't they go to the closer Georgia?
We could do double. Okay. Oh my God. Stalin in a master's cap. Here
touring
we go.
The Georgians. You could have just called them the Great Kings.
Yes, but that's a good name. Week zero, baby. Week zero.
Elsewhere on the schedule, we have Austin Peay at Western Kentucky. Jacksonville State versus Stephen F. Austin. UConn at Utah State.
Hell yes.
That's fucked up.
Jim Mora's back.
You get to go directly from whatever happens between Scott Frost and like the battle of the world's two greatest 3-9 teams, Nebraska, Northwestern, and Ireland. You get to go straight from that to Jim Mora in Logan, Utah, or Wyoming, Illinois.
Wyoming.
God, that's fucked up.
Man, say those words. Wyoming at Illinois.
Craig Ball, like a Brett Bielema.
Like you've just folded something wrong.
Do you know who Illinois' starting quarterback is?
No.
That's a fun question.
How dare you allege Guess what, that it's I you. Might?
That would be...
A lost Forcier.
Transfer from Syracuse, Tommy DeVito.
I was close.
Oh.
That is
very... Well, that's nice. Like, he basically has the color scheme down already, so...
Mm-hmm.
You expect this one to be an old-fashioned slugfest. That would be... Yeah, that's definitely...
By which, I mean, I want to pour salt on it.
Yeah, that's a line from this CBS Lines preview that I'm
reading. Who wrote that? Name names.
The writer is... Let me see some... Barrett Salee. Yeah. So...
It'll definitely be old-fashioned.
Mm. It will be... Football
and bad
before
for your
electricity. Brett Bielema getting the troops hyped for this. It's Wyoming's coming to our town, and we don't let anyone beat us at Illinois, except for, okay, well, several teams have done that, but we're not going to let Wyoming do it.
Nobody from Wyoming gets to do it.
Yeah, no, maybe they get to, I don't know, it's early. We need you boys to try hard, is what I'm saying. We need you to put in a lot of effort.
Illinois, however, is on a one-year week zero winning streak, so Wyoming could be in real danger here. Illinois beat Nebraska in this spot last year, which was not a harbinger for Nebraska at all. They things improved after that pretty quickly. They didn't. They got worse.
Vanderbilt does the smartest thing of any of these teams, eliminating all football from the equation and just going to Hawaii. Just going to Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, you weren't here. Jason and I have a chicken bet for this game. It's a long story.
I forget who I have, but...
You have the one that's not Vanderbilt. Hawaii.
You have Hawaii.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Phew. I happen to be wearing a Hawaii shirt. That was probably, that should have been my first
Oh, hey!
Yes. They, this is...
And
this
Vandy
is...
got there a week early? Is it... someone
yeah,
said that,
for
which...
their for the White Lotus retreat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Vandy, quote-unquote, acclimating themselves to the road environment, by which I mean spending 2 weeks in Hawaii.
They're going to develop a couple of condo towers and see if they can't endanger some species.
This is such a good call. This is just the best. Like, when are you going to get a bowl game? Week zero. That's when we're getting our bowl game. In addition to this, in addition to everything else that's going to happen this season, we're going to mitigate it by spending 2 weeks in Hawaii.
But then they don't have the next week off. They're playing week one. They're playing Elon.
Playing Elon. You tell me they don't have the week off?
This is the team. You remember who they lost to at home to start the season last year?
I'm saying that I'm not sure they particularly care whether they win or lose the Elon game because Hawaii.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What, like Vanderbilt's not going to be involved with guys named Elon?
Oh, man. No, that's a compelling argument.
It would be very Elon for them to not show up. The
I also appreciate that Vanderbilt decided to give themselves a treat, because here are their other road games this year. NIU, Alabama, Georgia, Missouri, and Kentucky.
Okay, I'm not making. Never mind. I'm not making fun of. I'm not see making fun country. Of this anymore. Vandy, you do whatever you need to do, baby.
Yeah.
What a postcard collection that is.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, man, I really want to see those private school nerds get beat up.
About that,
in DeKalb, Illinois.
Any concerns about Vanderbilt in this situation? Remember Stanford opening against, I believe, SMU. In Australia?
Okay. Sorry, I thought you meant the body clock game against North
Oh, this
Western.
Is the ultimate the, body
the
clock
what,
game.
The what game?
The body clock game.
Body clock.
Oh.
Sorry, yes. Sorry.
Body clock.
God, no, now don't do it. Don't say it again while we're in headphones. Don't. No.
Yes.
Which one of you had a song, like a little
Spencer
vocal
did.
Run?
Spencer did.
No, it was Stanford and Rice. Stanford and Rice in Australia. And
it's going to be Stanford in Rice by the time they're done.
And the argument was that Stanford, and this is when we had to consider Stanford as, I don't know, a factor in the Pac-12 at the time. Stanford, after playing that game in Australia, they immediately lost. Their next two games that looked like absolute garbage and really didn't get on track until September 23rd. What, you know, almost a full month later after leaving for that trip. So moving that far west can impact the rest of your season. It's possible that Vanderbilt won't really be in peak shape for the next 2 weeks. Counterpoint, Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt.
What is peak Vanderbilt shape?
Beating East Tennessee State this
year. It's a pyramid of money.
Yeah. Peak Vandy shape is, I'm ready for golf.
Peak Vandy shape is, you know, in Justice League when the Flash is like, what's your superpower? And Bruce Wayne goes, I'm rich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the superpower.
Hey, guys, what Vandy game are we going to this year? Have we picked it out yet?
The pickings are quite slim.
Oh, that was a problem. That definitely wasn't a problem last year when we picked our Vanderbilt game.
We made the right choice last year. I have a week zero question for Sober. UNC hosts Florida A&M to start the season.
Mm-hmm. Leaves Charlotte going 55 miles an hour.
What is the funniest outcome of this game?
It doesn't happen.
Oh, it just doesn't happen at all.
Yeah, like canceled.
Like hurricane?
Is that... I think I know why. I think that's because then UNC is in total disarray for App State the following week.
Yeah, which they're gonna lose in a
if we do it that way.
A stadium full of black and gold for the first night, unless they lose, in which case half the stadium goes home to put on their UNC gear and go out. Right.
That's a fine point. It's a fine point.
Okay. Have you guys been to Boone?
It's at 11 a.m., which feels
never mind.
Wrong. That feels like the wrong time to do it.
No.
Yeah, that should be an 11 p.m. local kick.
No, it needs to be 11 a.m. because that just pushes everything. That like you get drunk at 6 a.m. then instead of 7 a.m.
I see.
I think you just stay up. Just stay up all night.
Okay.
I like the FAMU game being canceled, and then UNC loses to App, and Mac Brown then uses the cancellation of the FAMU game as the excuse. Immediately, he is on it. Like he's probably saying that even before kickoff. Like, well, if we lose this game, then we probably shouldn't have scheduled that game in the first place.
Time is a lie.
it's your fault. You thought we were good.
Love is a rocket ride.
I it's you. The media. You are the ones who said that game was going to happen.
So then we were playing
the kids
Florida
got
A&M.
Real disappointed. Yeah, the media told us that our season would open against Florida A&M. So our kids just didn't even know which team they were facing today. So I tend to blame you.
Mac Brown's poor wife, man. It's you. You got your expectations up about what I was going to do this Saturday. That I got none of it done. Well, that's your problem.
Maybe the problem was you listened to your own ideas of what I would do instead of thinking about the fact that I didn't want to.
Did you consider maybe I wasn't a good person? That's your problem.
In the end, it's on you for not knowing that.
That's a lack of scouting.
Wow.
This all said,
UNC is not the funniest team that could lose week zero.
Tennessee's not playing.
Nebraska.
Nebraska's not the funniest team that could lose week zero. Because if they do, they can say, like, it was a, it,
hey,
overseas.
We're Nebraska.
This might be the one of the years where Northwestern is good.
Our guys
we're
are dehydrated.
Right. We puked on the plane.
Yeah. We had 38 pukes. We counted.
Pat
38 vomits.
Fitzgerald poisoned us.
Ryan, are it's you going metric. To Florida State?
It's Florida State. Yes. It is a king of Florida State.
That is
losing to an FCS team for the second year in a row.
Yes, yes. If
hey, they've got to make new traditions down there. They said it themselves.
Because if you'll recall, who does Florida State have? Who is their week one opponent in primetime on ABC?
Oh, God.
Is it Jacksonville State?
It's LSU.
Oh no.
Yep. So.
Oh no.
Which is already feeling like the week one overreaction game of the year.
Yes.
Like whoever wins, it's, oh my God, Brian Kelly's never going to lose, or FSU is back. Whereas imagine deflating all that with
0-1
Seminoles. And this is every year. This is one of the most watched casual fan games, the Sunday night and the Monday night game of week one. Like no matter who's playing, they're high up in the ratings. So people tune in like, oh shit, Florida State, they used to be awesome. I bet they're awesome again. They're playing LSU. This is a great game. 0-1 College football already started. What happened?
Wow. Probably played somebody really. I bet they lost to the Chargers. What?
I bet they lost to Miami. That's the other really good team. Either them or Michigan or Nebraska or Tennessee. Those are all the good teams.
Yeah. Yeah. Week zero is not going to provide us any of these delights, obviously.
My skin burns.
I will tell you. Duquesne, not terrible. Not a terrible FCS team.
But you weren't joking. They have a football team.
Wasn't Duquesne like D3 like 8 years ago?
Yes. Yes, they were. They played in D3. Actually, I'm sorry. They played in D3 from 79 to 92, but they have been in Division I FCS from 1993 to present.
All right.
Well,
so they're kind of like
them.
Florida. They're like Florida.
We
started D1 football in 1993.
I would say in the early 90s.
I wouldn't say Duquesne is very good.
Good. They have a heritage of success. Who's won a conference champ?
Does that mean they have won games?
Listen, they have a conference title as recently as 2018.
Okay.
Genuinely bewildered that we don't know about this. Are you sure?
Duquesne is 2-0 in bowl games before the NCAA split.
Is that
1934, they beat Miami 33-7. 1937,
right.
They beat Mississippi State 13-12 in the Orange Bowl.
Sagarin ratings last year, they were 206th in Division I. So, boy, FSU, you better not lose to that.
Are we fans now?
Yeah. This is happening. By the way, more recent conference title, yes, at their own level, than Florida State. Florida State, who hasn't seen a conference title since 2014.
Is this Kirkland Pitt?
Whoa.
Is that what Duquesne is? Great Value Pitt?
That's all aiming high, I think.
Okay. We got Stillers all the
Maybe
way down.
Let's dial it in at like Great Value Pitt.
This is the American
Sam's
Deli
Choice
Pitt.
This is 3D printed at home Pitt.
So it's funny. It might be neon.
3D printed.
But it's got some crumbles.
3D printed at home pit. Just comes straight off the printer like, kill me, please.
I don't know.
Take
Let's
a shovel
see.
To my head.
Let's see. I'm just going to look.
What's wrong with ACC champion Pitt?
Duquesne did punch well above their weight last year. They beat Ohio.
That was their first win over an FBS opponent.
So that's
I swear
very,
this is
that's
the first time
Pitt
I've
baby.
Ever heard of this school outside of the basketball tournament.
Yeah, I thought.
See, if you're a Florida State fan, this should make you excited because now when you get that overtime win over Duquesne, it's like, listen, Fullcast told you Duquesne's legit.
Duquesne won a playoff game recently.
That's a program right there.
Hey,
Mike Norvell has this ship going the right direction.
Playoff wins in the last decade. Duquesne has one. FSU doesn't.
See, this is my theory is that all Pittsburgh sports are just variations on the Steelers, right? That's why the Pirates are bad. I had to look that up, but they're bad.
You had to look it up? You had to look up the Pirates are bad?
The Mets and Padres are good, right?
Listen, yes, but
everything has changed.
But sometimes the Mets are good. The Mariners spend money.
All the Mariners have gone upside down.
There is not a world. First of all, you both know Alex Kirshner. If the Pirates were good, you would have fucking heard about it.
I don't know if Alex would know.
Hey, how you doing? I know it's been a while since we've talked.
I think he would sort of just perceive it as fake. Because, like, he wasn't around for the Barry Bonds Pirates. The Pirates have never been good in his lifetime.
No,
he's been here for the tax dodge Pirates, right? The Pirates who only exist to fill a hole on a spreadsheet for somebody with money elsewhere.
I'm sorry, my brain just immediately started explaining that although Alex sees the utility of taxes, that... I went into a monologue in my head even though he's not here. Love you, buddy.
So my theory is that just, you know, everything is Steelers, right? So they're bad at baseball because they're football players. They shouldn't be out there. They're just the baseball Steelers. Hmm. Pitt,
everything is college, Mississippi.
Right? That's college Steelers. And then Duke, who's their field named after? That's right, Arthur J. Rooney, because he's an alum. So there you go. That's great value Steelers right there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Haven't won anything recently. That also makes them Steelers.
The only week zero game that I genuinely care about is UTEP North Texas.
Well, it's going to be difficult, Ryan, because you know, got a lot on my plate. But I think I have them ready this week as coach.
You don't.
Wait, you, how often could you say North Texas is ready? Historically speaking, that's why they hired me.
Couple times a year
when they're about to take the stage at Austin City Limits, brother.
That's right. When we're about to when we're about to rock the second stage at Jazz Fest. Yeah.
I hope this is where we see UTEP begin its long march to an undefeated season, which will start against North Texas, and then next week turn into an upset win over Oklahoma.
Light work.
Fred VanEppels will have a stroke.
How will you tell?
Yeah, that's a high-strung looking.
I don't think his face. No, like, I don't think his face can droop. I think it's stuck like that.
It goes up.
Yeah.
Just, I don't. I really have.
The canvas is taut, brother.
I'm looking at the rest of UTEP's schedule. Even if they beat Oklahoma and win out, I think the committee's still like, eh.
Correct. Oh yeah.
You got number six.
Number six, generously.
Both New Mexico's on here. You got Rice. You got FIU. The schedule's like a whole lot of meh. And then Oklahoma. I think the committee's like, yeah, we'll rank you 12.
If you play both New Mexico's, you know what that means? You like elk meat. That's what that means. They're like, cheap elk meat. We went to New Mexico twice.
I'm just going to Google cheap elk meat.
Hang on. Elk meat, New Mexico.
Cheap elk meat near me.
It should just come up with a guy. Right, if you just, it's like, yeah, call
cheap
Steve.
Elk meat near me is actually an autocomplete. Okay.
Yeah.
I need it.
These things are tailored to the user, so.
Hey.
Just saying.
Discount
reader,
meat world.
The reader at home should know we do solemnly vow and swear and pledge to preview each and every week of college football in the same detail as we are doing week zero right now.
As long as UTEP continues its undefeated march.
There we go. Yep. Every week in which UTEP has a perfect record, as they do right now, we will continue this.
All we need is for you, the listener, to clap your hands at home and say you believe in us. And if you don't clap hard enough, we'll die.
Wait, Nebraska plays Oklahoma, too. So what happens if Oklahoma loses to UTEP and Nebraska this year?
I fold the perk. SEC says no thank you. You can keep it.
Take that shit to the Atlantic Coast. Colorado.
We already have a Mississippi State. Thank you very much.
Can we have Iowa State instead?
Iowa State running in like the ultimate warrior.
What do you think happens if the SEC invites Iowa State? Or they?
Iowa State would be like, gosh. What's our conference revenue? Like $100,000? Be like, yeah, yes, Iowa State. That's what you
holy
get.
Cow.
$100,000.
That's a lot of freaking money.
This is how you should tell Ryan got a law degree, because I was thinking, like, I don't know how they're going to make that deal work. And Ryan's like, find a way to fuck them
fleece,
immediately.
Fleece, fleece, fleece,
fleece. Fleece harder.
So we're going to, all we have to do is pay you for exposure?
Fleece harder.
Go hire Iowa State to a 2008 blogger contract.
That's what we'll do. Hey, you know what we're going to do? We'll pay you in credits.
We'll pay you in exposure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have a company store in Birmingham. You can only buy stuff there.
It's all SEC logos. I love it.
That means I'm one of those. Can I pull out my jersey?
$75 voucher for a quarter zip that costs $89.99 plus shipping.
We're paid in Alabama merch.
We'll pay you in slurps, which are equivalent to Chiswick nickels, which are also equivalent to either coin, right?
Slurps are what you call Slimer's nipples, just for the record.
That's where the noun is named after the verb that goes on. Milking a Slimer is like stealing gas from a car. You gotta prime it a little bit.
You gotta siphon it.
I'm so glad we're about to go back to twice a week. I hope you are too.
You gotta apply a little bit of suction to get it going. It's not an on-off thing. It's not like Slimer just like activate milk now. You need some stimulus.
It's not a maple tree. Calm down, people.
That's not how maple trees work.
Sure it is.
Slimer's like, you gotta
siphon a maple tree like a car?
Yeah, if you really get going, if you got the lung capacity for it.
Don't be a selfish lover with the maple tree. Maple tree deserves your affection.
This is like gone in 60 seconds. You're just out there boosting trees. I need you to get one tree. This is the worst RPG ever that you're out there stealing trees. I need you to get one of every kind overnight or your brother dies. I need a miracle.
I never thought again after Greek week I'd have to bleach my asshole and pick splinters out of the insides of my cheeks again. Mouth cheeks, not the other ones. What are you looking at me like that for?
Also on the schedule is Nevada at New Mexico State. Just a battle between New Mexico State, which is just standard New Mexico State.
I'm not interested in New Mexico State anymore because the guy from my high school is no longer coaching. But my actual high school football team did get 117 yards of penalties in the first half on Friday night. What happened in the second half?
117?
They won 46-20.
Winners get penalties. I've been saying it for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. The line, by the way, do you know the line on Nevada, New Mexico State?
It's sweet that they bothered. I'm guessing because it's
fucking
in Nevada.
Touching it is the line, if you ask me, because we don't know who's on
Nevada's
roster.
Are you saying the line is in crypto, Jason?
The former coach took half the team and Nevada
and
has
half
like,
the staff and
yeah.
All and the like, wins. Like,
in Bill C's returning production category, Nevada set a new record for who knows who's on this team. Turned 20%. Fucking betting on that.
I feel like we should call them and just be like, "Hey,
they
man,
hit,
man.
They fucking hit shuffle right? mode."
Let me put it this way: for 7 years, Ken Wilson, who's the coach at Nevada,
that's not a real name,
was the linebackers coach at Washington State. Can you name a single Washington State linebacker?
Can you remember a time Washington State tackled someone?
I can name one because he was at a time one of my son's teachers. So
that's right.
That is correct.
Well,
there's a former Washington State linebacker. So that
I
says
stand
that says a lot
corrected.
Of things.
Take that, Ryan.
In these times of teacher shortage, if we just need to start putting more Wazoo linebackers in classrooms, that's what we got to do.
What do you want for your rambunctious and rowdy 8-year-olds? You want somebody who can pick them up and sling them over their shoulder like a sack of flour.
That's true.
Think about this. If you need a coach who's going to develop quality educators, that's your man. That's your man. Is he going to get the job done anywhere else? Like I said, quality educators. That's what I'm going to give you. I'm going to stick to the positives.
Also on the schedule is
the mumble.
Honestly, Jack State, Stephen F. Austin's probably the best game of the day. Just because
that's kind of. We're staying up late to watch Vanderbilt Hawaii though.
Well, sure.
Best believe.
I didn't say most game paid most attention to. I just say Jack State and Stephen F. Austin are they got good players and equally matched and all that. So,
actual good football game. I will also state that I want to put odds on who's going to touch the Clark Lay joke first. Somebody's going to do that. Yeah.
Sounds like you did.
No. Somebody's going to reach for it.
ESPN hack Spencer Hall.
That's right.
SEC honk.
Bias.
Vanderbilt homer.
Petros Papadonkis. I could do better. Hey, come back.
Do you want to be a Vanderbilt homer this year? I got room.
No. Oh, wait, I have to. They're my playoff pick.
That's right.
Oh, ooh. Yeah.
Shit.
You and me both, sister.
Hey.
We're gonna be leading the parade down Lower Broad when Vanderbilt wins its third game.
The parade of backhoes.
Your teams this year are Ohio State and Vanderbilt. That's quite a range.
Yeah, I'm a complicated dude.
I think you should take all the Ohio State vitriol
good vibes
that you're withholding from that fandom.
Yeah, I'm worried you're
spend them on Vanderbilt games.
Toxic Vanderbilt fan.
When Vandy loses, it is
careful, Ryan. You'll get irony
conspiracy.
Poison.
Yeah. It is.
I punched a cashier at Publix because they weren't respecting the doors.
Not Albertsons.
Whole Foods.
Imagine yelling at a South Carolina fan in public. They're getting screamed at by a rival fan. How long would it take them to figure out it's a Vandy fan, right? Who's this Clemson
asshole?
Yelling
at me.
Is this supposed to be a Tennessee fan?
Who's this guy from Georgia? In the Accenture polo, and why is he screaming?
How many schools do they go through in their heads? They're like, we were in a conference with NC State? An NC State fan? Is that what you're mad about? guess 35. Vandy? What?
Yep.
So this College of Charleston fan was yelling at me in the park.
That was the most amped small liberal arts college graduate I've ever seen.
Swarthmore for life!
Nah, man. You haven't seen them try to serve veal at Oberlin.
We have to deliberate first. That's why Oberlin's football team is terrible. We need to meet first and discuss this before we tackle.
That's kind of how football works, actually.
That is true, yeah.
Yeah, you just described football.
Actually, yeah. I kind of meant after the snap, but yeah, you're right. Oberlin may be better at football than I think.
Okay, what kind of Little Giants mania would ensue if your team flashed to huddle after the snap?
We should.
And you just hit the ball. Tackle all of us. Yeah, actually, turns out you can. It's fairly easy when you're all bunched together.
That's how football worked from 1870 through 1903.
Muddling is the most important part of the
game. Continue the meeting.
The whoopsie orb.
Get close. It's 14 degrees out here. It's fucking cold.
It's this or go to war, boys.
Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt comes in and says, "Hang on, we're going to make this game safer. Break it up and run into each other headfirst."
That's what actually happened. Throw the ball up so that you can be hit in motion midair.
We sometimes say we don't tell jokes on the show, and that's the history of football right there.
No, that's the whole thing.
Sinful7.com.
Yeah, and that this was an Ivy League sport. That's how stupid Americans are generally, right?
Our smartest people invented this shit.
What's our favorite sport? Yeah, it's the one that got banned because people were dying. It's the one where they're like, yeah, he got a stick up his nose and it went into his brain.
The nepotism babies were killing each other, so we decided to let everyone do it.
And who was fucking killing it in these pre-war times? That's right, Vandy, baby.
Taking a break from killing orphans to killing each other.
No. Process those orphans. They're valuable.
And then Michigan showed up and stomped the fuck out of all the nerds.
Fucking Michigan.
And that's when Michigan was good.
That's right. It's just a series. It's a series of nerds gradually beating other less nerdy nerds until you eventually devolve down to until the anti-nerds.
And now Florida State's good at something. Yeah. Are you happy? I mean, they're not
happy. Yeah.
They're
not. It starts with nerds, Michigan nerds show up, and then eventually it's like fucking Oklahoma is the best at it.
What went wrong for Florida State? They cared too much about academics.
That's it. You're right.
We're gonna start pivoting that. We need to eliminate the med school, Florida State. That was our downfall.
Florida State, not a problem.
It wasn't a problem until they made a joke about them on Family Guy. No, not the Simpsons joke. It was Family Guy.